Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus' message is today, in today's gospel, is very clear. God takes second place to no one. He's either Lord of your life or he's not. Right? Whoever loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If we are to follow Jesus, he demands our all. But then Jesus assures us, if we give him our all, if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it. Right? We'll discover that in him, we find the purpose of our life and the freedom to live it out. The way St. John Paul the Great put it back in 1995 when he came on his apostolic journey here to the United States, he said that Jesus Christ is the answer to the question posed by every human life. Right? You and I, each and every one of our lives is a question mark. And Jesus Christ is the answer to the question posed by every human life. He's the key that unlocks the mystery that is each and every one of our lives. So what does our willingness to lose our life for Jesus' sake look like? Jesus also answered that question in today's gospel. It means we have to take up our cross and to follow him. And our cross is the broken humanity that is all around us. Right? Our own brokenness, yes, and that of our neighbor. And as we can see by all the recent events, there's a lot of brokenness in humanity these days. And that brokenness, it's expressing itself in destruction. You know, without God, humanity loses its identity and its bearings. Confused and frustrated, it falls prey to fear and reactions to fear and the deceptions of the ruler of this world. I shared last weekend how ultimately Satan and his minions are the only real enemies. Please don't misinterpret me when I say that. We shouldn't be naive to the human agents who have fallen for the devil's machinations. So I'm not talking about not doing anything about that, the injustice in the world. All of that needs to be stopped, because if it doesn't, it will have the domino effect that will lead to the end of our safety and our freedoms. But even those people who work against the gospel, creating havoc right now, tearing down statues. Just yesterday in my home state of Missouri, a prominent statue of St. Louis, the patron saint of the city, was being defaced. And a Catholic priest and a group of lay people had to come and protect that statues of the saint from being torn down. And you can look up the video of that priest trying to peacefully resist and attempt to reason with the mob. Even these people who are sowing the seeds of revolution, thinking that they can achieve what they see as justice by committing injustice upon others, Jesus desires their repentance and salvation too. He desires their good, right? This is what it means to love even our enemies, to desire our enemies' good. So in this sense, Satan is the only real enemy, because even the enemy's captives who do his bidding, Jesus desires that they may know true freedom, peace, and happiness as well. And the enemy, known as the father of lies, is hell-bent, pun intended, to make sure that that doesn't happen for his captives. Right, and his tactics to destroy the human family, which are in full display right now, are accusation. That's why he's called the accuser. Lies. That's why he's called the deceiver. Appeals to our pride, temptation, and discouragement. All with the aim to divide and conquer. Is the enemy trying to use any of those tactics in your own life? Accusation, lies, appeals to our pride, temptation, and discouragement. All those have the aim of dividing us, making it easier to conquer and subjugate us. And so what Jesus did and is doing through the members of his body each of us as members of his body, is to pick up the cross of broken humanity and walk it to Golgotha, the place of the skull, to take the brokenness upon himself and put it to death. Right? He who knew no sin became sin, or took on our sins so that we might rise to new life with him. And he asks us to follow him. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying that there's no easy way to make all of this evil and destruction go away. It requires all of us to take up our cross and follow him. And Jesus understands our natural tendency to shy away from taking up our cross. He himself prayed 3 times, right, at the agony in the garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will." But each time, Jesus knew that the path that was laid before him, his passion, death, and resurrection, would inaugurate the invasion of the ruler of this world. The climbing of the hill of Golgotha, sacrificing his life, and planting that cross there was God's stealth move to rescue all that are held captive by the evil one. And so to take up our cross means to join the invasion. I'll explain the invasion a little bit here, but remember what Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So what gates, it's not an offensive measure. Putting up gates isn't an offensive measure. It's a defensive measure, right? And so we're not talking about the gates of heaven. We're talking about the gates of hell. And so Jesus is saying, hell does not stand a chance against me and my church. I will rescue my captive sons and daughters, at least those who want to be liberated, because there are those, unfortunately, who are under the enemy's spell, and as Scripture says, exchange the truth about God for a lie. But I want to explain a little bit more about this invasion. Let's remember the image Jesus mentions in the Gospel of Luke to describe this. He says, "If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe." So who's the strong man to whom Jesus is referring there? That strong man, it's not Jesus, it's the enemy, Satan. And what are his goods that Satan is trying to keep safe in his possession? Those goods are his captive souls, right? The people whom he has lured into slavery. But then Jesus continues, "But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil." So who is the one that is stronger than the strong one? It's Jesus. He's referring to himself. And Satan doesn't stand a chance against him. This is the invasion of a kingdom by a stronger kingdom. And that stronger kingdom is God's kingdom, of which you and I are heirs by virtue of the fact that we are God's sons and daughters. So Jesus is on his rescue mission. His spoil, the treasure that he seeks, is all of humanity and their freedom. So the call to take up our cross means to join Jesus in this invasion and bearing the hardships of fulfilling the mission God has given his church, because it ain't gonna be easy. And some of the captives have been so tricked and brainwashed by the enemy that they choose to stay in their slavery. So the only thing that can ultimately change our world to a civilization of justice and love is the transformation of minds and hearts that are after the mind of and after the heart of Jesus. Weapons, violence, unjust legislation, and power grabs can't do any of that. Can't do that, right? They simply perpetuate the division, and they exchange the places of those who are being oppressed. That's all those things do. The only thing that will lead to lasting peace is when all find unity in the heart of God, who is love. And brothers and sisters, that will be a work in progress until the consummation of history. But that work is the mission of the church. Our part is fidelity to that mission, of which all of us have different roles based on our strengths and our gifts and our talents. So don't think just because you're not the type to proclaim the good news from the rooftops that you're not an essential part of the war effort for God to get his world back. Did you notice a connection between the act of hospitality that the woman in the first reading showed to the prophet Elisha and what Jesus said in the gospel? Jesus said, whoever receives a prophet, Elisha is a prophet, right? Whoever receives a prophet, whoever aids or gives hospitality as part of this war effort, whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So that person who supports the prophet or will receive the same or similar reward as the one who is more in the forefront of the war effort. Maybe your God-given gift is hospitality or helps, and you like to stay behind the scenes, making sure everything happens as planned, but trying to stay anonymous because you don't like the attention. Well, guess what? God sees that hidden work and rewards that in a similar way as those out in the front of the war effort. Jesus continues, whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. So even those seemingly little tasks, God sees as significant when done with great love and as part of the war effort to save humanity. So we all have a part in this invasion of God's love upon a world torn by the forces of hell, but whose evil ultimately doesn't stand a chance in the end. Be assured of victory, brothers and sisters. But until that glorious day, Jesus enlists you and me in the war effort to take up our cross and follow him. And to follow him means he needs to be a regular part of our daily life. Some have gone AWOL in this fight. So if we don't have a daily relationship of connecting with our Lord, it's imperative to establish that so that we know what our marching orders are and know where to go. You know, all this stuff that's going on around us, I don't know if you're feeling it, but it can be very disorienting unless you know exactly where you're supposed to go. And that's what a deep, profound relationship with Jesus through a life of daily prayer can help us know. It can orient our life because we know what we're supposed to do. Sometimes in life we can be so overwhelmed by all the horrible stuff that's going on in the world, and we take that upon ourselves, and we can feel helpless in doing anything about it. But guess what? We don't have to worry about everything. That's the Savior's job. That's the Master and Commander's job, to have the whole battle plan in view, right? We are part of his body. And if we stay in the sphere in which he has charged us, if we play our position, so to speak, and do that faithfully, we can't go wrong. So let us do what Jesus commands us to do in today's gospel, to take up our cross, that brokenness that surrounds us, and follow him to Golgotha, to lay down our lives to save humanity. And there he will raise us and our broken world to new life.